Praise God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this man of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the love that he has for your children. I thank you, Lord, for the love that he has for you, for he is truly a man of God that's being called out and called upon to do your work and your will in this place. And that the word that he brings is a word that he's received from you. And Lord, I pray that he not add to it or he not take away from it, Lord God, but that it comes from the word that you've given him in his heart. And that is the heart of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless him, Lord.
Thank you, brother. Awesome, brother. God's awesome, isn't he? Get your Bibles out. Turn to John 21. Remember this morning we talked about when you're limping over the finish line. Well, we're going to kind of take that a little bit further tonight. We're going to talk about Peter and the disciples. They're all limping, and God's talking with them. You know, sometimes when you're limping, you don't feel like, well, if I'm limping, obviously I'm not doing what I should be doing, or I wouldn't be limping. Anybody ever felt like that? If everything was like it should be, it wouldn't be this way. Well, you know, everybody in this church has faced failure at one time or another. If you've never faced failure, you're in this church. Is this on? Check, check, check. Is this on? Okay. If you never faced failure, you're in here right now, you've never had to face failure in your life, I want you to raise your hand. Look around at all the hands that are not raised. Everybody in this church has had to face failure. Amen? That's right. Now, so John 21, you got your Bible, say amen. You don't say on me. My wife told me I needed to either get some glasses or I'm going to have to get a crane to help me hold a big enough Bible up to see. Ma'am? Uh-huh. That's right. That's exactly right. There you go. Good. That's good. All right. Ready? John 21. You can stand. You don't have to stand. You can sit right down. That's right, sister. Amen. John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, after what things? After Jesus died, after they saw all that went on with Jesus' death and the crucifixion, the scourging, the crucifixion, the burial, the tomb, and he's even come to them and he's talked to them. So they remember something now. This isn't just immediately after the resurrection. They already know that he's resurrected. All right? They know that God's plan is coming to pass. And still, after these things, he came to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias on this wise, and he showed himself. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, which is twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. I just want you to think about this now. They've just been through probably one of the greatest J-box in their life. They have come to a very hard place. Peter especially, because Peter, out of all of them, was probably the most self-sufficient one. So now they've come to this spot. He says, now I go fishing. And they said to him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night, they caught nothing. Does that sound familiar? Luke chapter 5, when Jesus comes up and finds the guys, he wants to use their ship. But he comes up and he sees the guys cleaning their nets, and he says, you need to go out and cast your net on the other side for a draught. Does that kind of sound familiar? That's the first time he calls them. He tells them, go out, you've had a bad night, go try it again. So now, he says, I go fishing to go with you. And immediately that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore by the disciples, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered, no. And he said unto them, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher coat around him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish lay thereon in bread. And Jesus said unto them, Bring the fish which you have now caught. Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. I want you to remember this, 153 fish. All right? You say, what's that got to do with anything? It's going to be a lot to do with a lot. Watch this. And for all that were so many, yet not the net broke, was broken. And Jesus said to them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples thus asked him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he'd risen from the dead. The third time. Somebody say third time. Okay, you got to remember all this now. Remember, think about all these sequences of events here and these numbers that God's using. Then when he had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said to him, Feed my lambs. And he said to him again on the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said, Feed my sheep. Then he said him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now here you go again. Here's numbers. You know why there's three times here? Because this is where Peter discovered his limp. All right? When he denied the Lord three times. All right? Lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne, Father. I thank you, Lord, there's absolutely nothing, Lord, that you don't know. There's absolutely nothing that you do not have under control. There's absolutely nothing, Father, that you cannot handle. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to minister to us and through us, Father. Let this night be a night to remember. Lord, as we even limp to victory, Lord, I ask you, Father, to touch us, Lord, to help us understand what you're doing in our life and that it's not to hurt us, but it is to help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name. And the church said, Amen. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about facing your failure or actually getting up from your limp. All right? I'm going to just throw out some things here. I don't know if you might know this. This is just historical thoughts. Did you know that Henry Ford, talking about failures, you know that Henry Ford failed to put a reverse gear in his first car? Can you imagine driving a car without a reverse? Amen. You know, Thomas Edison failed in 10,000 experiments before he finally invented the light bulb. They asked him, said, So you failed 10,000 times. How does that feel? And he said, No, I tried 9,999 things that didn't work. Amen. But I came through on the 10,000th one. Abraham Lincoln lost 9 elections for political office and failed in business twice before finally becoming president. Albert Einstein was dismissed from school because he lacked interest in his studies, failed an entrance exam to a school in Zurich, and was later fired from his job as a tutor. They even said at one time when they sent him home, This boy is retarded. Wow. Beethoven's music teacher, the brilliant John Aschenberger, said that Beethoven would never compose any music worthwhile because he failed to follow the rules of musical composition. Beethoven. Wow. How many remember Fred Astaire? I like Fred Astaire's movie. He's an awesome dude. When I was little, I thought it was crazy, but the older I get, you know you're getting older when you start liking Fred Astaire. All right. In 1932, when Fred Astaire was starting out, a Hollywood talent judge wrote on his screen test, He can't act, he can't sing, he is going bald, he can dance just a little. Wow. Michael Jordan, talking about failure, Michael Jordan failed to make the junior varsity basketball team, and when he tried out, and later the school principal told him to consider enlisting in the Air Force Academy after high school, which would be his best option for a career. Wow. So now next question. Has anybody in here ever had to face a failure? I'm not talking about when we, you can just point out and say it's their fault, their fault, their fault. Don't matter whose fault it is. Have you ever had to face a failure? Have you ever found yourself at a point where you're limping, you don't even know why you're limping, you're trying to figure everything out, you're trying to get some sense and understand why this is even happening? We see, here's Peter, James and John, all the guys, that they were expecting Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom. They had it all figured out. Remember this morning, Jacob had it all figured out? They had it all figured out what Jesus was going to do. Even as they're at the Last Supper, here's his mom, here's James and John's mom saying, I want to make sure that James is on your right hand and John's on your left, or vice versa. I want them on each side of you, when your kingdom comes, because they thought their kingdom's coming now. So they got it all mixed up. The night that they were supposed to be helping Jesus because he's going to go to the scourging, the arrest and the scourging and the crucifixion, they're trying to decide which one of them was the greatest. So they had it all figured out. Have you ever, I ask you this morning, has there ever been a time in your life when you thought you had it all figured out? Wow. And by the time you think it's getting ready to happen, wow. Bam! Smacked in the mouth. You know, it's one thing to be smacked on the back of the head. It's another thing to be smacked in the mouth. So, here these guys are. They're expecting Jesus to do great things. They don't realize that Jesus is going to do greater things than they could ever have imagined. But in their finite mind, they had it all figured out. Tonight, if you're limping, you may be looking at your limp and thinking, I thought I was going to do greater things for God, and God's saying, I'm going to do greater things with you than you ever imagined. But in order for me to do greater things than you ever imagined, then I'm going to allow you to limp so that you can leap. Wow. I'm going to allow you to limp. I'm going to allow you to hurt. I'm going to allow this stuff to come your way so you can realize you don't have it all figured out. That God wants us to succeed more than we want to succeed. God wants you to have more power than you even think that you want to have. God wants you to do greater things you ever imagined. But he will let us limp so he can slow us down, he can get the glory, and he can help us, show us that sometimes you just can't figure it out. Amen. So now the road to success is lined with failures, and perhaps the fear of failure has kept more people from trying to reach their goals than anything I can think of. Matter of fact, failure is like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. Failure for some people becomes a self-description. They begin to think of themselves as a failure, and everything they do is a failure. For others, failure is just something that makes them, it's like giving a dog a bone. There you get you. I failed, but I'm going to make better than this. I can do better than this. There's a better way through this thing. You know, God wants us to be pregnant with new opportunities. And so when failure comes our way, it's not there to drag us down or we can be named failure. God allows failure. So as we limp to the launching pad and we leap. You see, Douglas MacArthur said, you know, people want security. That's what they want, security. Douglas MacArthur, one of the greatest military minds of our time, he said, there's no security on this earth. There's only opportunity. Wow. No security, only opportunity. You know the Chinese symbol for opportunity? I've told you this before. The Chinese symbol for opportunity is the same symbol for crisis or danger. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The same symbol for opportunity is the same symbol for crisis. Danger. Wow. You see, it's all in how you look at it. You know, don't let the fear of failure or the fear that you've already had some failure in your life stop you from letting God use you now, because God has so much in store for every last one of us. And along the way, you are going to fail. But we don't have to be imprisoned by the fear of failure. You know, faith is a risk. Love is a risk. Your work is a risk. Following your dream is a risk. Stealing home plate is a risk. You know, I was sitting there watching as my granddaughter, they were at the Washington All-Stars. They were at the state championship, and they were one run away from being the state champions. And I watched that third base coach. And they had on third base, they had two outs, and they had two strikes. And so this was looking bad. And I saw him send his slowest runner in to steal home base, home plate. And when she ran in, it was like I could see it in slow motion. She's running. And they've already looked on the other side and saw what she was doing. And they threw that ball. And they threw that ball. And that girl was already sitting down there. And it was like she was going, one, two, three. And the girl finally slid into home plate, and they threw her out. And, of course, we lost the championship. But I looked at that, and I said, you know, I told my granddaughter, too, she wasn't the one doing the running. Actually, she's one of the slowest runners on the team. And I told my granddaughter, I said, rejoice that you were at that tournament, that you made it that high. And don't you look down on it, even if I even told the slowest runner, don't be ashamed or afraid or think you're a failure. You did exactly what your coach said. He said, run! And you did it. And you were called out. But how many other players were sitting either at home or sitting on the stands watching you get thrown out? I said, you were not a failure. I even told my granddaughter, you've heard me say this before too, is you count your score. You do count the score on the board, yes. But more importantly, you count the score in your heart. That's more important to me than the score on the board. All right, so now, when you take a willingness to risk failure and couple it with sound wisdom of God, nothing is impossible. I'm not talking about some crazy leap of faith where you're going to stand out on Highway 30 and say, 33 and say, in the name of the Lord, no car is going to burn. You're going to get run over. But you take sound wisdom of God with faith. No, there may be some failure, but sometimes failure sometimes hits us so hard we're afraid to get back up. You know, sometimes I've been hit hard and I get right back up, talking about the crock pot, talking about the microwave. There's times I've been hit and I got right back up. Let's go, come on. Then there's times I got hit and I kind of, whoa, that kind of hurt. I don't think I want to do that one again. You know, I even think about poor Inky. Inky, when we got her, she wouldn't let me touch her. And then she finally got a little closer to me, and I could feed her, but I couldn't touch her. And then I got to where she actually, when Maddie come up to be loved, she would get close, and she'd see that I wasn't going to hurt Maddie. And so eventually, she started getting in and moving in between me and Maddie so she could get love. And now they're both sitting there getting love all the time. They're, you know, Inky's fine. But Inky had faced this terrible onslaught of hurt. She's a dog. You say, well, she's a dog. But you know what? They say dogs are the easiest things. You hit them, they come back and love you. Inky didn't. Inky was afraid because she'd been hit so hard. But now I can't keep her off of me because now she knows Daddy is going to take care of her. Not going to let anything happen to her. But sometimes failure hits us hard. Simon Peter, it hit him hard. You know, here's Peter. He's the man. I mean, Simon, he is the man. He's the leader. He's thought of as the main man. He's the one telling that when Jesus says, y'all going to run and hide, he says, everybody else may, but not me. He's the one that drew out his sword and cut off Malchus's ear. I mean, here's this guy. He's talking. He didn't just talk the talk. He started a good walk. But once he saw how bad things were and that everything he had figured out was not going to happen the way he thought it was figured out to be, and he saw this, then he denied Jesus three times. And so because he denied Jesus, he said, out of all the people, me? How many times have you failed and said, out of all the people I know, I cannot believe I failed for that one? You ever said that? You ever said, well, you know what? I would believe it if it was somebody else. I would believe it was one of my friends. I cannot believe I fell for that. Here's Simon Peter. I cannot believe that I fell for this, and I have failed so hard. The Bible says that he went out from Caiaphas' hall of judgment, and he wept bitterly. You know, it's one thing to weep bitterly for your failure, because godly repentance, godly sorrow worketh repentance. But if all you're going to do is sit back and cry, don't waste your sorrow. One more time. You've been hit. It hurts. You have failed. But if all you're going to do is sit back and cry, that's it. You're stuck in that area. Don't waste your sorrow, because Satan has already won. You're stuck. You won't move. You see, your failures can make you bitter, or they can make you better. I choose to let mine make me better. You know, I've been hit hard. I know you have too. We all have. But you know what? There comes a time where you just have to stand up, brush your knees off, brush your bottom end off, and say, you know what? That didn't feel good. But I'm going to keep on going. Now, I'm going to give you five things here from Simon Peter, from his perspective, from his viewpoint, from what was going on with him. I'm going to give you five things. I want you to write these down. Five things to remember when you're facing failure, when you're limping. Because here's Peter. Remember, this is the third time Jesus come to him. So it didn't like it was the very first time. Jesus, matter of fact, what did the Bible say? Before he even came to the disciples, who did he come to first? Peter. So he's already had a come to Jesus meeting with Peter. Can you imagine having a come to Jesus meeting and this Jesus standing right there? So he's already had this come to Jesus meeting with Simon Peter. He's already told him, I forgive you. Everything's going to be all right. He's already talked to the disciples. It seems like things are going right, but Peter still cannot accept that he failed Jesus. He can't accept it. That's why Jesus at the end asked him three times. Jesus is jogging his memory. Jesus, you know how Jesus is. Jesus can come at you and say a thing in such a way as, not only is it going to help you, but it's going to help generations to come. And so here it is. Here's the five things I want you to look at. Number one, if you find yourself limping and you find yourself thinking you're a failure, I want you to watch this. Number one, failure is never final. The only time failure is final is when you allow it to be. Failure is not final. The Bible says to Peter, I go fishing. They said unto him, we go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. And Jesus said, if that's the way they're going to be, I'll never talk to them again. The Bible says, but when the morning was now come, when the breakthrough took place, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Why didn't they know it was Jesus? Because they weren't looking for Jesus. All Peter can think about was, as I failed Jesus, he's even come to me. This is the third time he's already come to me. And I still cannot accept nothing, anything, however you want to put the correct English. But see, watch this now. After Jesus' resurrection, after he even talked to Jesus, he was still so discouraged. Listen carefully. He felt useless to God. He felt so useless to God that he said, I'm going fishing. Enough of this ministry business. I failed. And I'm going back. Why did he go fishing? I mean, it's okay to fish. He's going to fish the rest of his life. So what's this got to do with anything here? You got to understand, the timing is everything. Yes, Peter's going to fish the rest of his life. But what about this instance when he says, I go fishing? What he's saying is, watch this. When I stepped out of the boat, I stepped out of my comfort zone. When I let God use me for ministry, I stepped out of my comfort zone. And it was while I was out of my comfort zone that I failed. And so while I'm out of the comfort zone, I fail. And so what I'm going to do is, in order to redeem something, I'm going to go back to my comfort zone. Some of y'all in here, there's times you tried to step out to be used of God, and when you tried to step out even a little bit, you felt pain, or you felt a remorse, or somebody said something to you, or somebody did something happened, and you find yourself hurt. Well, you find yourself, or you feel like you were a failure because you feel like, I can't do this anyway. And so what you do is, instead of trying it again, you step into the comfort zone. Because in my comfort zone, I don't hurt. In my comfort zone, I don't fail. In my comfort zone, everything's cool. When I step out of my comfort zone, it's kind of like she's my granddaughter, and all the grandparents always brag on their granddaughters, but I can tell you this. Sierra, I think, stole more bases than anybody, and it tickled me because she weren't afraid to step off that base. I'd watch and I'd say, girl, you better get back closer to that base. They're going to throw you out. And she'd do it. And that pitcher would be up and she'd be going. She'd have that pitcher's nerves tore up. And then she'd run. It tickled me to watch her. She weren't afraid to steal a base. You know, some of us need to have that kind of fearlessness in our own life. Instead of being so afraid to stay in our comfort zone, step out a little bit. You see, when Jesus passed by, it made all the difference. See, Jesus comes looking for us when we fail. Did you know that? He come looking for them. They didn't have to go to him. He came to them. They're out there messing up. They're going back into their comfort zone. He comes back, and it's early in the morning. Early in the morning speaks of a new day. Some of us in here need a new day. Amen. So those of you need a second chance, another opportunity, something different, you know, a new beginning. Put the past behind us and reach out for what's ahead of us. And so this is what's happening. Jesus is coming in and showing them that failure is not final. That's number one. Peter found that out. Jesus came looking for him. Number two, failure. Oh, this is a good one. You got somebody, y'all need to write this one down in big letters and circle it. If you got a crayon, circle, you got a paint can, spray it. Failure does not change our status with God. Whew! Jesus says in verse 5, then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? He can look down and said, heathens, you got any meat? He can look down and said, you bunch of failures, you got any meat? He said, children, do you have any meat? Wow. You see, when he called them friends at the Last Supper, he said, you're my friends. But now let's look. When the prodigal son, after he blew it, the prodigal son said, why am I out here in this hog pen and my daddy's servants have more and then some? I'll go home and tell my daddy I'm not even worthy to be your son. I'll just be your servant. And when he gets there, he tells him, I don't want to be your servant. He says, no, you're my son. And he puts the robe on him, puts the ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and he kills the fatted calf. He says, my son was gone. He was dead. But now, he's come back. Just because you failed, Satan will tell you, just because you failed, Jesus wants nothing to do with you. And that's so far from the truth. When you've messed up, Jesus is closer to you than you ever could imagine. Remember, he goes and finds them. They're out fishing. They're trying to get back in their comfort zone. And here's Jesus walking out. Children, have any meat? Number three. It won't take too long, I don't think. Three, we got five. Number three. Your failure can be transformed into success. Verse 6 says, and he said unto them, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you'll find. And they cast, and now therefore they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. Now do you think, logically, just having it on this side and net on that side is going to make that big a difference? Maybe not geologically, but in us, mentally and spiritually and emotionally, it's a big thing. So he tells them, cast your net on the other side. In other words, God wants to take your failure and turn it around into a success. Wow. Some of the greatest failures wind up being some of the greatest successes. Think about it. You know, I told you about this. One of my favorite stories is the man for Procter & Gamble's making Ivory soap. He goes on. As he's going on break, he was trying to adjust all the ratios. He's hurt, trying to hurry up to get on break, and so he doesn't pay attention to exactly what he's doing. And he goes to break. He comes back after lunch, and he sees that he's messed up, so he readjusts everything. And in about a month, they start getting a letter back from customers saying, "We want some more of that soap that floats." How many's ever seen Ivory soap float? Mom used to buy it for us so we could catch it when you're in the bathtub. At least find it. Not maybe necessarily catch it, but at least find it. While he was trying to go to lunch and he was trying to adjust it, he adjusted it wrong and he put too much air in it. It was a failure. And that failure made that soap one of the most famous soaps in the entire world. Once they found out what went on, he went back and he said, "Well, I misadjusted some things." And they said, "Well, how about re-misadjust it?" Because it's selling like hot, I reckon, the hot cakes. Selling like soap. Jesus says, "Throw your nets out again." Try it again. You know, think about that little train saying, "I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. I know I can, I know I can, I knew I could, I knew I could." You know, God wants us not to be afraid to try it again. And when they caught it, they caught 153 fish. Now, what's the significance of 153 fish? The Greek theologians at that time, or in around that time, the Greek theologians said at that time there was 153 known species of fish known to man. 153 species of fish known to man. Now, can you imagine they caught nothing? He's just casting it on the other side, on the right side. When he casts it on the right side, the net fills up with 153 fish. Wow. What he's saying is, I'm going to take what you think is a complete failure, and I'm going to make a complete success. Wow. That's awesome. Absolutely awesome. God wants to transform you back into a success, but you've got to be willing to cast that net again. Number four. Here's the one that you have to beat it in your own head. Failure does not mean that you are a failure. Failure does not mean that you're a failure. Satan would like to label you with failure. He would like to label you to make you think that whatever you do, you're going to fail. Don't go out and try it because you're going to fail. Don't go out and give it a shot because you're going to fail. And when that happens, you're afraid from that time on. But let me tell you something. Just because I fail doesn't make me a failure. Verse 12 says, Jesus said to him, "Come and dine." Would he be asking a failure to come and dine? He's saying, "Come and have breakfast." This is what close friends had, breakfast. And eating is synonymous with fellowship. The bread and the fish remind them of feeding the 5,000. The Passover. What he's saying is, when he said, "Come and dine," he says, you're still part of the equation. You are not a failure. You failed, but you're not a failure. You are my child. You belong to me. Children, have you any meat? Come and dine. Come and have fellowship with me. Wow. That's some powerful stuff. Jesus is trying to tell Peter everything is going to be okay. Failure does not have to permanently scar your life. And then finally, want you to listen to this one carefully. Here's another one. Failure does not disqualify us for kingdom service. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto them, Lord, thou knowest I love these. He said unto him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee, feed my sheep. And he said unto him again, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. And then he goes and tells him this, watch this. Verily I say unto you, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, in other words, I ain't through with you. I'm not through. There's going to be more, a lot more. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Wow. Why would he be telling him to feed his sheep three times if he didn't plan on using it? Three times. You denied me three times. You're limping. But I want you to know that I'm going to use that limp, and that story's going to go all around the world many, many times. But this is going to be a help to so many people. You know, Jonah, when Jonah refused to do what God told him to do, and he wound up in the belly of the whale, the Bible says that God spoke to him a second time. Aren't you glad that God still speaks even when we mess up? Jeremiah, y'all might not even... How many know that Jeremiah, not the bullfrog, he was a good friend of mine too, yeah. But they had his funeral a few weeks ago because he croaked. Jeremiah 33. Let me explain something about Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah wound up in prison. And while Jeremiah was in prison, this is what's so awesome about Jeremiah being in prison. He's in prison during a time that the city's under siege. So it looked bad that he was in prison. It looked bad that he was bound, that he couldn't move like he wanted to. But because he was bound, it prevented him from being killed when others were being killed. He was protected. Just like Jonah was protected in the belly of that fish so he wouldn't drown, Jeremiah's in prison and God's protecting him. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 33, we always talk about Jeremiah 33 and 3. Let's talk about Jeremiah 33 and 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. Wow. Well, everything's looking bad. People aren't listening to him to start with. He's already upset because people aren't listening to him. He hadn't had any converts until the latter part of his ministry. Here he is right now, and he's in prison. And it says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish that the Lord is his name, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We always talk about verse 3. And we think, well, wow, I'm not holy enough to be verse 3. Well, read verse 1. It puts it in perspective, don't it? All of a sudden, verse 3 is not so out there holy that you got to say, I'll never achieve that. He told him that while he was in prison. Not while he was at the steakhouse. Not while he was at the White House. Not while he was in the penthouse. He told him that when he was bound and couldn't do a thing about why he was locked down. Some of y'all in here right now, you might not only be limping, but you're bound and you're locked down. God says, you know what? You may be locked down, but I'm not. You may not can figure this thing out, but I already know the beginning from the end. Remember, his omnipresence means definitely, definitively, he is in your past, your present, and your future at the same time. And because he's in your past, your present, and your future at the same time, He already looked at the end. He didn't just read the end. He wrote the end. Wow. That's awesome. Trust God to work this out. Now one more time, I want to tell you these things. And after I tell you these things, we're going to pray. Just because you fail, just because you may be limping, number one, failure is never final. Jesus came to him. Number two, failure does not change our status with God. He said, children, have you any meat? Number three, failure can be transformed into success. Throw your nets again. Number four, failure does not mean that you are a failure. He said, come and have breakfast. We're going to have intimate fellowship together. And number five, failure does not disqualify us for kingdom service. I can imagine that hurt very hard when Simon Peter, when he kept asking, do you love me? And he kept asking. I'm pretty sure the first time he asked, it may not have brought back those three denials. But by the time he asked the second time, I'm pretty sure he was thinking. And by the third time, I'm pretty positive old Simon, he was smart enough to know three times, he just blew it three times. Hey. Yeah. Three times. What he was saying was, on all three denials that you said you did not know me, now you say you love me, and on all three denials, I'm saying I can use you again. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Three times he blew it, and three times God says it's taken care of. I need you not to be afraid to be used again. Wow. You may be limping, but you can still be powerful. Remember, underneath, see, Jacob, it said leaning on the top of his staff. So if I'm leaning on the top of my staff, blessing my children, down at the very bottom is that past, those symbols, there's my past. There's the promise. There's the pain. And here's the power. And underneath me is all that mess. And up here is God saying, I got taken care of. Wow. I may be limping, but I'm still powerful. Amen. I want everybody to stand. You can either come up here and pray, or you can pray at your seat. Sister Brenda, can you play some I may be limping, but I'm powerful music? God wants to use us. You may feel like you've been disqualified for service because you just haven't, you failed. You blew it. I can tell you, you can't get much more of a failure than seeing Jesus right in front of your very eyes. And when somebody says, you know him, and you pop up and go, I don't even know who that guy is. Matter of fact, if I know who that is, if I know him, let God kill me. That's what cursing meant. Didn't mean he laid a cussing on him. He said, if I know this man, let God kill me. That's some pretty stuff, tough stuff. And he still, God wanted to use him. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. No. That's right. God's more concerned with your relationship. I talked to my son. My son was said, Dad, Sierra's driving me crazy. I've tried everything I know to get her to bat the way I told her to bat. I spent money in a batting cage. I do not understand why she's batting like that. He said, Dad, you taught me. Now you go and you talk to her, Dad, because I said, hold it, I got this. He said, I said, just sit down, I got this. And he stood beside me and I said, Sierra, you look so pretty in that uniform. I said, you're gorgeous. I said, let me see that pretty smile. And she smiled. And I said, I want you to go out there and have fun. You've had enough training. Now just go have fun. You have some fun, it's going to be okay. She ran out there and got a home run. And I looked over at DC and I went. Then I told DC, I said, yes, don't beat her up. She feels like a failure. Love her. Jesus didn't want to beat the disciples up. He loved them. He loved them. He loved them. They were beating themselves up. Most of the time we beat ourselves up. Jesus doesn't have to do it. We do it to ourselves. Let us pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you've got everything in control under your feet. I thank you, God, that whenever we find ourselves limping, whenever we find ourselves maybe thinking we're a failure, you're right there to pick us up. You're right there. Peter and the guys, they're trying to get in the comfort zone, and you went right to them. You spoke to them. You showed them love. You showed them compassion. Help us, God, to understand that's what you want in our life. You want us to know that you're concerned with our relationship with you and that we're not failures. Yes, I may fail, but I'm not a failure. Thank you, God. I have failed many times in my life, but I'm not a failure. God loves us. God loves you. God wants to use you. No matter how big a failure you may think you are, God don't think it. God loves you. Put your trust in Him. God is awesome. God is awesome. One more time. God is awesome. He understands. He knows. All of His disciples ran and hid but John. He understands. God knows. When He needed His disciples, they were arguing about who was the greatest. When they got down to the brass tacks, they ran in fear. Peter denied Him. Yet on that shore, Jesus came and showed them amazing compassion. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Learning to lean. Don't let your failures or your fears define you. Instead, let them refine you. Not define you, but refine you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.